This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Glenn Kessler joins us live on the long line. He's the president and the founder of MediaCurves.com, where America goes to be heard online, and you get paid to do it. You can't beat that. Glenn, how are you, sir?
Good. Thank you, Coy.
Absolutely. Now, y'all are releasing a study today that you were just telling me that it's going to hit the airwaves and is hitting the airwaves. I guess as we speak, this is going to be big news.
Yeah, it should be. It's a study of Governor Sanford and his sincerity levels. Do people believe his apology? Over the last year or so, we've been studying a lot of the famous media-famous apologies like Governor Spitzer and Domino's apology by the CEO, Mattel CEO's apology. After people put their foot in mouth or there are product failures, we have these videos going online and on TV of apologies. So what we've been doing is we've been scoring them and trying to find out which ones are successful, which ones are believed, and which ones aren't. So last night, we took Governor Sanford, the governor of South Carolina, who apologized regarding an affair he had with an Argentinian woman, and measured the level of sincerity. And the results just released a few minutes ago.
And what do we learn?
Disaster.
Oh, gosh.
This was, we compared the results of his apology relative to sincerity with those of David Letterman when he apologized regarding the comments he made about Sarah Palin's daughter, at a Yankee game. I'm sure many of your listeners have heard that.
Sure,
it was big news.
Yeah.
And I've got to say that the sincerity levels were appallingly low for the governor. And we did pre-post studies. We wanted to know of those people who had heard about his fling in Argentina, what did they think of him? Did they think he should resign? And we asked those questions before looking at the apology. Then we asked the same question after looking at the apology. Do you think the governor should resign? And basically, among independents, more people thought he should resign after seeing his apology than before. And even Republicans very negative. 2% more Republicans said he should resign after hearing his apology than before.
Wow.
So generally, there are ways to apologize, and there are ways not to apologize. And he seemed to find a way of expressing his feelings that really hurt him.
We're talking with Glenn Kessler at MediaCurves.com. And Glenn, for anyone, we've spoken about this before, but for those who might just be joining us, to inform them as to how these studies are done, anyone can participate in these studies, right?
That's correct. We have, I was on your show some months ago during the election. We were testing most of the presidential elections in 2008, as we did in 2004. Anyone can go on and opt in, and we randomly select from a very large national panel. We identify people based on different demographic criteria. We only use the information for market research, and we pay people to participate in these. And they're consumed by the media, and we also use the data for some consumer advertising. So Super Bowl ads, we sometimes test the ads before they go online.
So folks go on to MediaCurves.com, they register, and you watch videos online, and then you're asked questions about what you've seen.
That's great. There are scientific studies, and many advertisers in the U.S. use the service before they release the ads to make sure that emotionally they're appropriate and whether they're meeting the objective that the advertisers have set for releasing the ad. So basically that's how we do it.
Right.
Now, for the media, we do these things because it's fun. It gets in the news. And, you know, pundits on television are constantly convincing people how they feel about an issue. So there will be some people who will say, Governor Sanford did a great job, and he explained himself. And those who watch those pundits may tend to believe what they say. What we're trying to do is, before the pundits get to it, how did people feel? So we recorded this, As soon as we got it, we launched it to a national sample, and we broke it out into Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. And before being convinced by the pundits how people feel, we're able to measure it. And so that's what we have here. I got to say, when looking at the, if people go online and look at the results of this study, they can look at second-by-second automated response curves. And the one interesting thing that I saw, and again, I encourage folks to look at it, as the governor speaks, when he mentions that he apologizes to his staff, I saw one of the most dramatic, precipitous decreases in sincerity, in perceptions of sincerity that I've ever seen doing these things.
Wow.
People didn't believe him. They believed that when he apologized to his wife and he gave his wife credit for bringing up their children and you know, being an important part of his life. But when he apologized to his staff, you have to see it. It's sad and almost funny because it was such a dramatic drop. People didn't believe that he cared or he was sincere when he was apologizing to his staff. And even worse, when he apologized to the people of South Carolina, the sincerity levels among Republicans dropped dramatically.
Wow.
So this guy's in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
People perceive him as was perceived in this study. I've got to say that he made a big mistake. And in the contrast, you can also look at the Letterman. Letterman didn't do really well, but there was a slight net increase in the perceptions of David Letterman pre-post.
Yeah.
They did think that he was somewhat sincere, not highly sincere, but it was above the midpoint. This guy, it was a disaster for him. I can't believe that he didn't practice this, because whoever wrote this for him, if he didn't write it himself, should be fired.
Well, it's anecdotal at best, but I can tell you my dear old Republican friends in South Carolina are not happy at all. We're talking with Glenn Kessler. The website is MediaCurves.com. So, Glenn, I'm curious, in your study of these well-broadcast, nationally viewed apologies, who's done well, and why do you think they've done well?
Well, one that was pretty good was the CEO of Domino's Pizza, also the CEO of Mattel. And, of course, they weren't apologizing for their personal actions. They were apologizing for their products. But there was a perception of sincerity, and those were very positive. Elliot Spitzer, actually, his apology was perceived better than the governor of South Carolina. And he made no excuses. He apologized and he quit right after. And if you watched the apology, you could see the writing on the wall that this was a terminal case and he gave himself no way out. In Governor Sanford's response to his situation, he didn't go far enough. He didn't give a suggestion. I'm editorializing now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He didn't give a suggestion that he was leaving. He brought all the things that people bring in except for God. And usually, as Michael Vick did in his apology, was a disaster. But actually, about the same as Governor Sanford's, if you look at the statistics. He brought in the Bible and God. Paris Hilton did the same thing. We studied her apology related to her drunk driving violation. When people are trying to apologize to segments of the population who you believe they really weren't thinking about when they did this, where they wouldn't have done it, it's unbelievable. It's interesting, Spitzer, who quit, he made a very, very sincere apology relative to, or as measured by the measurements we use. And it was interesting. It seemed to work, but he resigned. Governor Sanford apologized to the people of South Carolina, to his staff, and when he did that, it was disastrous. When he did apologize, or in fact, he didn't apologize to his wife, he acknowledged his wife and her role in the family. That was perceived very positively and sincerely.
We're talking with Glenn Kessler of MediaCurves.com. Glenn, before we let you go, we want to hear about another study that y'all recently released. Millions of Americans recently watched this, and let's listen in about what millions of Americans were watching.
John, there's been a lot in the press here lately. Can you clear the air and fill us in on what's going on between you and Kate?
Yeah. Kate and I have decided to separate.
Yes. We have decided that we will separate.
There you go. John and Kate plus eight minus the marriage plus John's girlfriend. Glenn, y'all recently did a study of this as well, right?
Yes, we did. And really, there's not a lot to say about this one, except that people, after viewing that, people were far less predisposed to watch their show in the future. So if you look at the impact, believability, sincerity, whatever, interest, lack of interest isn't important. People don't want to see it. And that's what they said. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't see it, but reporting in a market research study or a communications research study, that was the most important point, that after looking at a couple's train wreck on television, or I think what they're saying is they don't want to see a couple's train wreck on television.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
That doesn't mean that they won't. Of course, there people tend to be driven to watch things that they say they don't like. But in this study, they didn't like what they heard, and they indicated that they were not predisposed to wanting to see their show again. 64% of people indicated that. So what does that mean? I don't know. When I hear that the Octomom is going to have a television show,
oh,
I would wonder whether, if I were the producers and the money behind that, whether I would put a show like that on after looking at the data that we gathered on the on this couple and their lives. And how they changed, that people weren't interested. But who knows? Right now, when you look at how the media treats, I'm switching topics here,
yeah.
But I'm very interested in how the media is looking at Iran, and Iran is off the news because of Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You folks in the media are very fickle.
It's ridiculous,
so,
isn't it?
There'll be maybe a new spin on John and Kate, and it may be that people will be predisposed to watch it because of a breakup.
Yeah.
But at this point in time, we measured this the day after that recording, and people said, I'm signing off, I'm tuning out.
It's jumped the shark. It is ludicrous, if you think about it, that people are going up to their rooftops in Tehran at night under their cover of darkness, screaming for democracy and freedom, and yet in America we're talking about Michael Jackson.
You know what bothers me even more? That we called it the Twitter revolution, as if this was all about Twitter. And when I look at the mainstream media, a focus is on the media. The media likes to talk about media. Now, the issues there are, I don't know how much of them relate to which of those two guys are better, because if you go in the background, some people say they're very much the same. People are demonstrating for freedom.
Yeah.
Yet the media spends at least as much time talking about how what the mode of media is to communicate what's going on.
That's a great point.
Twitter, than they are about the detailed issues. And I think that's because they assume most of America is pretty shallow and aren't interested in the issues, so they focus on a mode of communication like Twitter. And to me, it's sad and silly. Now, that's out of the news, and Michael Jackson is in the news. But when it comes back in the news, I hope people will put some focus on something other than the media that's used to communicate what's going on. It's really sad. It's detailed, and there's a lot of levels of what's going on in Iran. But when 50% of the time is, let's track the Twitter comments, it's kind of silly to me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's an excellent point. Glenn Kessler, the website is mediacurves.com. Check it out and get involved. Glenn, thanks so much. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.